Hello and welcome to your GCSE Law Revision Podcast. I'm so glad you're here because today we're diving into one of the most fascinating and exam-critical topics in the whole specification, Topic 2.2, the Criminal Offender. Whether you're revising for the first time or doing a final check before your exam, this episode is going to give you everything you need. We'll cover criminal liability, property offences, defences, and sentencing, and I'll be giving you the exact exam tips that will help you pick up every available mark. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's get started. Let's begin with the absolute foundation of criminal law. Two elements that must be present for almost any crime to exist. These are the actus reus and the mens rea. And I want you to remember this phrase, no crime without both. Say it with me, no crime without both. The actus reus, that's Latin for the guilty act, is the physical element of the crime. It's what the defendant actually did, or in some cases, what they failed to do. Most of the time, the actus reus is a positive act, but here's where it gets interesting for the exam. The actus reus can also be an omission. That means a failure to act. English law doesn't generally impose a duty to act on strangers, but there are specific situations where a duty to act does exist. From contract, from a special relationship, like a parent and child, from a voluntary assumption of care, and from a dangerous situation you yourself created. Examiners love omissions questions, so make sure you can identify when a duty exists. Now let's talk about the mens rea, the guilty mind. This is the mental element of the crime. The most serious form is intention. Direct intention is where the defendant's aim or purpose is to bring about the prohibited result. Oblique intention comes from R versus Woolen, where the result wasn't the defendant's aim, but it was a virtual certainty of their actions, and they foresaw it as such. The second form you need to know is subjective recklessness, from R versus Cunningham. The defendant takes an unjustifiable risk, and they are aware of that risk. The key word is subjective. We're asking what this particular defendant actually foresaw. This is a really common exam trap. Make sure you say subjective recklessness, not just recklessness. There's one more concept that trips candidates up every year, transferred malice. If the defendant has the mens rea to commit a crime against one person, but accidentally commits the same crime against a different person, the malice transfers to the actual victim. The classic case is R versus Latimer. But transferred malice only works if the crime committed is of the same type as the crime intended. This distinction is crucial. Strict liability offences are crimes where no mens rea is required at all. The prosecution only needs to prove the actus reus. These are usually regulatory offences. Speeding, selling alcohol to a minor. The rationale is public protection. Right, let's move into property offences. First up, theft, under Section 1 of the Theft Act 1968. A person is guilty of theft if they dishonestly appropriate property belonging to another with the intention of permanently depriving the other of it. There are five elements: appropriation, property, belonging to another, dishonesty, tested by the Ivy versus Genting Casino standard, and intention to permanently deprive. All five must be present. Robbery is under Section 8. Theft plus force or the threat of force used immediately before or at the time of the theft. Even the slightest force suffices, as established in R versus Dawson. If the theft fails, the robbery also fails. Burglary is under Section 9, and there are two forms. Section 9 versus 1 versus A, entering as a trespasser with intent to steal, inflict grievous bodily harm, or do unlawful damage. Section 9 versus 1 versus B, entering as a trespasser and then actually committing theft or grievous bodily harm. The key difference is timing. Under A, the intent must exist at the point of entry. This distinction is a favourite exam question. Blackmail is under Section 21, an unwarranted demand with menaces with a view to gain. Fraud, under the Fraud Act 2006, covers false representation under Section 2 and obtaining services dishonestly under Section 11. Making off without payment comes from Section 3 of the Theft Act 1978.
dishonestly making off without paying, knowing payment on the spot is required. Criminal damage under the Criminal Damage Act 1970, destroying or damaging property belonging to another without lawful excuse.
Now let's move on to defences, specifically duress and intoxication. Duress says, yes, I committed the crime, but only because I was threatened with death or serious injury. There are two types, duress of threats, where a third party explicitly threatens the defendant, and duress of circumstances, where the situation itself creates the threat. For both types, the test is two-part. First, was the defendant compelled to act because they reasonably believed they faced death or serious injury? Second, would a sober person of reasonable firmness, sharing the defendant's characteristics, have responded in the same way? This is an objective element, and candidates often miss it. You must address both parts of the test. Duress cannot be used as a defence to murder or attempted murder, established in R. v. Hassan. And if the defendant voluntarily associated with criminals and foresaw the risk of being coerced, they cannot rely on duress. Now, intoxication. The rules depend on whether the intoxication was voluntary or involuntary, and on the type of offence. Voluntary intoxication is where the defendant chose to take the substance. For specific intent offences, like murder or theft, voluntary intoxication can be a defence if the defendant lacked the required mens rea. But for basic intent offences, like assault or criminal damage, voluntary intoxication is no defence. Getting drunk is itself a reckless act, and that recklessness substitutes for the recklessness required by the offence. Involuntary intoxication is different. If the defendant's drink was spiked, and as a result they lacked the mens rea, they have a complete defence, even for basic intent offences. The key case is R. v. Kingston. If the defendant still formed the mens rea despite being involuntarily intoxicated, the defence fails. Sentencing under the Criminal Justice Act 2003. Four main types: custodial sentences, imprisonment or a suspended sentence, community sentences, unpaid work, curfew, rehabilitation, fines, the most common sentence in the magistrate's court, and discharges, absolute or conditional. Always link the sentence to the aims of punishment: retribution, deterrence, rehabilitation, protection, and reparation. Examiners award marks for making that link. Don't just name the sentence, explain why it achieves a particular aim. Right, let's talk exam technique, because this is where marks are won and lost. The biggest mistake candidates make is failing to apply the law to the facts. Here's my golden rule. Every time you state a legal rule, immediately follow it with the word here and apply it to the facts. State the rule, apply it, reach a conclusion. That's the structure that earns marks. For scenario questions, always address both actus reus and mens rea separately. When citing statutes, be precise. Say Section 1 of the Theft Act 1968, not just the Theft Act. For defences questions, always address the limitations of the defence. Common mistakes to avoid. Number 1, confusing the elements of different property offences. Get the timing right for robbery. Number 2, failing to distinguish between duress of threats and duress of circumstances. Number 3, misapplying voluntary intoxication. It only negates mens rea for specific intent offences. Number 4, forgetting the correct statutory section. Section 91A and Section 91B burglary are different offences. Time for your quickfire recall quiz. Pause the podcast and try to answer before I give you the answer. Question 1. What are the two elements required for criminal liability? Actus reus and mens rea. Question 2. Under which section and act is theft defined? Section 1 of the Theft Act 1968. Question 3. what is the key difference between Section 91A and Section 91B burglary? Under 91A, the intent must exist at the point of entry. Under 91B, the defendant enters first and commits the offence after entering. Question 4. For which offences can voluntary intoxication be a defence? Specific intent offences only. Question 5. Name the 5 aims of sentencing. Retribution, deterrence, rehabilitation, protection, and reparation. Brilliant work getting through all of that. Let's do a quick summary before we finish. The criminal offender topic is built on 2 foundations, actus reus and mens rea. Every crime requires both, unless it's a strict liability offence. Property offences each have their own statutory definition. Know your sections. Theft is Section 1, robbery Section 8, burglary Section 9, blackmail Section 21, all from the Theft Act 1968. Fraud comes from the Fraud Act 2006. Making off without payment is Section 3 of the Theft Act 1978. Criminal damage is the Criminal Damage Act 1971. For defences, remember the 2-part test for duress and the specific versus basic intent distinction for intoxication. For sentencing, always link the sentence to the aim of punishment. You've got this. Go back over any sections that felt tricky. Use the diagrams in your study guide and practice applying the law to scenarios. That application skill is what separates a grade 4 from a grade 8. Good luck with your revision. I'll see you in the next episode.